Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 135 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hairball is an explosive national touring act that brings the glory of the 80s to the present, playing homage to bands such as Van Halen, Motley Crue, Queen, and of course, Kiss. We are proud to have with us the former bass player for Billy Ray Cyrus, former member of the AC/DC cover band Thunderstruck, the vocalist for Hairball, performing tunes from AC/DC, Twisted Sister, Cinderella, Quiet Riot, Kiss, and so much more. Here to talk about Hairball, Kiss, and his thoughts on the final show, please welcome Dave Moody. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Hey, Dave, it's so nice to meet you. So we're so glad to have you in the show. And just to get things going, Dave, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the musical environment you grew up in?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing music professionally for 35 years. I've been blessed to say that I've paid my bills that way for 35 years. So it's been awesome. I grew up in a very musical family. I grew up in Kentucky, so I'm a true hillbilly. And we always had music around our house. I'm a proud, true hillbilly. So my mother grew up in Eastern Kentucky in Appalachia. And my father grew up in the middle part of Kentucky, and everybody was musical and everybody sang. And it was kind of like the Waltons, if you will. We were all on a porch and singing and playing and eating beans for dinner. So it was really nice. But I was raised in a country music loving family. Dolly Parton and the Statler Brothers and Tom Waits Hoody and Johnny Cash and all that good stuff, you know, and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and things of that nature. But, you know, when I was 6 years old, I was sitting on my porch and a COD came from UPS from Columbia Records and opened it up, and Kiss Destroyer was in there, and it changed my life forever. So it turned me around and made me do what I want to do.
Wow. You know, as Pask was saying in the introduction, so we're going to talk about, you know, Hairball in depth later on. But you play homage to a lot of iconic rock bands. So what are some of your favorite rock bands?
Well, I mean, it runs the gamut for me. It starts with Chuck Berry and goes to Elvis and of course, and then the Stones and the Beatles. And it just, I mean, all the 70s classic rock, of course, we all love all of that. But my favorite bands is easily Kiss. They're the ones that, like many of us, you know, started that fire that we can't put out. And it's always been there for me. And Kiss and AC/DC and all the bands that I replicate, Alice Cooper, they all work for me, and I love them. I love everything about them, and to this very day, put on any album, it's like almost like the first time you put it on, it's like an old friend. So
it's true.
I just love those bands. I love the characters in the bands, and I've never grown up from that, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, we want to hear more about your love for Kiss. But before we do that, you know, you were saying that you were born in a musical family. Music was always a big part of your life. And we talked to so many people in the same situation. They grew up loving Kiss, loving music, and that passion became their livelihood. That passion, that dream became a reality for them. And part of your dream and your reality was playing with Billy Ray Cyrus. So tell us a little bit about that.
That was very unexpected. That came out of left field. I had a friend who's like a brother to me, who is actually Billy Ray's brother, and he ended up being Billy's tour manager and Miley's tour manager. And he called me one day. We had grown up together, and he ended up, being Billy's, right hand man, which family, it just makes sense, right? But he called me one day and said, "Hey, my brother needs a bass player. Would you be interested?" And I said, "Well, yeah, absolutely. That sounds great." And had never played a note of country really on bass in my life to speak of to pay my bills. And I learned about 60 songs. I went down to Nashville, and we did an audition. And when I did the audition, it was against me, a Nashville sessionist and an LA session player. These guys could play better with their toes than I can with my hands. But I did come in prepared, and I came in ready. And thank God I got the job, and it was an amazing journey. It was an amazing trip. And everybody in that band to this very day are my friends and my family. And Billy's just a wonderful human being and a great boss and just, a better friend. So it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. It was almost 10 years I was with him.
I love listening to these stories because, to us, they're musical icons. They're our heroes, but they're like you and me. They're people like everybody else, And
True.
I love hearing these personal stories about how you met, musicians and become friends and family. I just love that. Dave, also, you were part of Thunderstruck, an AC/DC cover band. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts about cover bands today? With Kiss having reached the end of the road, maybe it's avatars, maybe it's tribute bands. Who knows what the future for Kiss is? Do you believe that the future for retiring bands is tribute bands, cover bands, shows like Hairball? What do you think?
I think if you pay it the proper respect, I think if you go out there with the intention of being the spirit of the band versus actually trying to pawn yourself off as the band, and live in a spirit world, if you will, and let the audience know that. And then it's, then the onus is on them. The onus is on them to drop their guard and unfold their arms and enjoy the show, because when we get up there, we're everybody knows it's not Kiss. Everybody knows it's not AC/DC. Everybody knows that it's not Dee Snider. But I'm going to give you everything I got to make you believe it for just a hot second, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. I think that showing these kids that are coming up what we did. And at the level, that we remember it, and presenting it to them so they can see it in living color the way they never got a chance to see it. And again, we're not those performers, but man, we do the moves. Man, we do the vocals. We do everything. It's 100% live. Believe that. Every note that we play is 100% live. And we get out there and do it old school, and we mean it. And, who better to do it than the people that lived it? So for me, I believe that tribute bands, if done accordingly and done properly and done with respect and in the truest sense of the word tribute, and they do it in that manner, man, there's nothing better. And it's so affordable to do it. And you're walking in those footsteps, and yeah, it's not the person. Sure, it's not. But man, if the band's delivering the goods, from a sonic standpoint, from a vocal standpoint, from a musician standpoint, from a visual standpoint, and they're going out there and they're laying it all on the line. Hey man, why can't you have a good time with that? That's, it seems pretty simple to me.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Dave, I think it's all about entertainment, and even more if you do it professionally, like you guys should do it. There's no chance that you're gonna have a bad time. So it's gonna be a great time no matter what happens. And I was thinking as you were talking about tribute bands, and I think that when you're a fan, that actually brings a bonus, okay? And in your case, that you are a huge Kiss fan, I can't imagine, the stuff that you might be doing on stage, when you play Kiss. So, but before we get there, so can you tell us a bit more how you got into Kiss?
I mean, it was literally going back to what I said just a little bit ago, whenever I was sitting on my porch
Destroyer, okay.
and it came in the mail and I opened it up. I looked at the album cover, pulled it out of the sleeve. I could still smell it. I could still see it. I could visualize every moment. I could see a little 6-year-old Dave Moody pulling out Destroyer and putting it on the record player and dropping the needle on it. And my life was changed. It was just changed. I knew literally, and I know this sounds, dramatic and romantic and all that stuff, but at that very moment, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I'm not kidding. I said, I'm
Really?
going to play music. And I never lost that. And thank God I didn't, so it was just such a, for lack of a better term, I was thunderstruck for real. I mean, it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is ridiculous. I love everything about this. And it possessed me. And I'm glad that it did. I was possessed by the power and the glory of the gospel of rock and roll. So
There you go.
nice.
I love it. I love it. Dave, usually when as you were saying before, you grew up in a very musical family surrounded by all kinds of stuff, good quality music. So let me ask you something. When you were exposed to Destroyer, given the visual impact that this band has, was it more the visual stuff that grabbed you or was the music?
It was both. It was literally both. I mean, the songs were catchy. The hooks were great. It was heavy metal Beatles. It was great. I mean, I loved everything about it. Granted, I didn't know a lot of what they were talking about. When he's saying, I asked about the back. I didn't know. Little kid. I had no idea what he was talking about. Neither did you, and neither did anybody. Didn't matter.
Exactly.
They were just cool, and they looked cool. They sounded cool. They presented themselves as cool, and normally a 6-year-old kid would be freaked out by that kind of stuff, or to
Absolutely.
see somebody spitting blood or whatever. I was in love with it. I was like, all right, that's what I'm talking about. Get Porter Wagoner over here. I need Gene Simmons.
True, true.
But nothing wrong with Porter Wagoner though. But yeah, I mean, it literally took me over, and I was just such a fan from the minute that I saw them visually that I had to hear them, and then once I heard them, it matched the visual. I'm like, cool, this is awesome.
You were
So
already in.
I got it immediately.
Okay.
I got it as much as like a kid gets vanilla ice cream on a hot day. You know what I'm saying? I just
There
This is great. Yeah.
So, we most of the time when we were talking with Pask and some of the guests in the show, I think we all agree that KISS has afforded us with so many once in a lifetime experiences, and you're living the dream. So what you're doing, guys, this is fantastic. But let me go a bit deeper. So what are some of the experiences that you have as a result of your love for KISS? So meaning concerts, meets and greets, cruises, and expos. So can you tell us about that? So what you live for?
Oh, absolutely. I've got so many. One that you all don't know, that many people don't know, but except for my immediate friends. As we was courted by Gene to be signed to a Simmons label whenever it was rebooted. And I had a band called Magnetic Flux. And the band had just finished getting everything back from the mastering and all the packaging and everything. And I had read in a magazine, back then it was in a magazine, and that he was rebooting his Simmons label. And I looked at our singer and I said, we got to send this to him yesterday. So we did. We overnighted it to the address. 2 days later, we get a phone call from Angus Vale, which is Gene's attorney. He lets us know that Gene's going to call us. I still got the voicemail on my answer machine, by the way.
Oh,
It's pretty
wow.
cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And Gene called us, said he loved the music, said he loved the stuff. He was just so over the moon about it. And he wanted to meet with us. Well, about that time, it was around 2003, so they were doing the Aerosmith tour.
Okay.
You know, the co-headline.
Yeah.
And he called us, and he came to Louisville, which is where we were from. And he gets there, and he gets us in the back room, and he walks in with that hat on, you know, that he wears.
No kidding. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, boys, it's nice to meet you. And he kind of looks down and he looks back up at us. And he says, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, you're too old and you're too tall. That's exactly what he said. And I was like, wait a minute. those are two things I can't do anything about, you know? So, you know, at the end of the day, he kind of explained it. He pulled me to the mirror and, you know, a couple guys asked questions and he shot them down. And then I asked him, I said, well, what should we do? What, he goes, well, that's a good question. He goes, come here, David. He put me in front of a mirror. And he says, what do you see when you look in that mirror? And I go, Gene Simmons with his arm around me. And he started laughing. He goes, no, what do you see besides that? And I said, well, Gene Simmons with his arm around me is kind of hard to get past right now. I got to be honest with you. So he said, no, you see two dinosaurs and we scare people. And, you know, we're a nostalgia act. And, you know, I mean, typically, you know, people are smaller and, you know, in the industry and they look like, you know, at the end of the day, it just wasn't what he was looking for visually, I believe.
Okay.
And that's okay. And that's okay. That's, you know, that's okay. He was kind enough to bring us in. He was kind enough to talk to us. And I couldn't be more grateful for it. And he was more than generous. So, that's the biggest one that I've got, that we were almost signed by Simmons Records.
Well, it cannot go bigger than that, I guess. that's
pretty cool,
awesome.
Pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
But that's interesting because, one, Gene called Kiss a nostalgia act. I find that interesting. And number two, you know, he loved your music, but he couldn't get past the visuals. Is that what it's, was he saying? Is he saying that the visuals are more important than the music?
Well, no, he just couldn't get past it wasn't the look he was looking for, I guess.
Right, right.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong. But I equate it to, you know how you can go into Walmart and you see like something at Walmart when you first walk in, like let's say it's a brush of some sort. And, oh, I need a brush. And you put the brush in your basket and you walk around Walmart. And you get the rest of your shopping done and you'll get your milk and bread and eggs and anything else that you need. And then you're going to check out. And as you're checking out, you're putting all the things to check it out and on the belt there. And you look down and you see that brush and you realize, I don't need this brush. And you put the brush back. Mm-hmm. Everybody's done it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that brush was my band. He didn't need that brush. And that's okay. That's his right as a consumer. That's his right as a buyer. He don't owe me an explanation. It was okay. I understood it. I landed fine. I'm good. As a matter of fact, I sent him an email when I've got the job with Billy Ray. And
okay.
I wrote him and I said, hey man, I just want you to know that I want to thank you for being so kind to us and giving me encouraging words after that, because he did. Put his arm around me and said, hey, keep going, kid, keep going.
Nice.
And I sent him an email. I was with Billy around the Hannah Montana time. And I sent him an email and said, hey, you know, I landed on my feet. I'm playing bass for Billy Ray Cyrus. And he said, I knew that you would be fine. I knew that you was going to be fine. So,
really? Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, how much better does it get than that? I mean, your hero, you know, shooting you an encouraging letter, you know. So it's pretty
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Pretty awesome. It's good to know that your heroes are good people.
Yeah, true.
Wow, he's part of the reason that you are where you are today. Your
Absolutely.
Hero. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know,
100%.
And if you believe that everything happens for a reason, I mean, you know, everything that's happened in your life got you to where you are today. And it sounds to me like you're in a really good place today.
Amazing.
So speaking of which, I want to talk a little bit about Hairball. But before I do that, we did an episode, maybe 3 years ago, close to the beginning of the podcast, with someone who was in a I'm not sure if he was in a cover band or a tribute band, but the episode was about the difference between a cover band and a tribute band. To you, what's the difference? Is there a difference?
Yeah, there's a difference. A cover band is more, it's acting and visual and musical. I mean, it just is. It's a production, a replication of a specific act. Like if somebody was doing Journey or AC/DC or Kiss or, one of those bands, any of those bands, if your band's specific, that's a tribute. If you're which kind of makes Hairball an anomaly, because we are a tribute in that sense, but we're a tribute to many. Now most bands will do a lot of different bands, but they don't do the production of the characters with the band. You see what I'm saying? So the main character is not out front in full costume, in full makeup. It's not that production. So yeah, a tribute band is definitely different than a cover band.
Well, that's why I asked the question because, knowing what I know about Hairball, it's more of almost like a Broadway production than a tribute or a cover because it tells the story of these musicians in a sense, in your entire show.
I mean, yeah, I can see where you think it would be like a Broadway production, but it's from the acting standpoint, yes. From the musical standpoint, yes. But not like an actual show where we would go out and do dialogue or anything
Right,
like that.
right.
So
Yeah, it's not a
that's
musical. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
it's not a musical. It
Sure.
is it is a it is a full celebration of everything from the 70s and 80s with full costuming, full makeup, full pyro, five video walls, more pyro than a 70s Kiss concert. And we're there
Nice.
to burn your eyes out of your head, make your eardrums bleed, and leave you sticky, broken, confused, brother. We're there to preach the gospel around the world. You know what I'm saying? We're like the Billy Graham of rock and roll out there. We are letting it happen, baby. And we don't pull any punches. We give the crowd exactly what they want. And every single time, we never serve ourselves. We're always serving the fan. It's always about the fans. It's always, and literally it is always about the fans. What I love to do, Christine 16, what I love to do, Almost Human, what I love to do, name the Gene song, what I, name it. I would love to do that. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. It's about getting people involved in the songs, the big hits, the visuals, the over the top production. The you want their senses assaulted in a good way, all the way around. It's like an eyegasm, eargasm, and a throatgasm all at the same time. It's like,
There you go.
oh yeah,
A big
it's just
show. That's right.
it's over the top. What we grew up on, what we learned.
Because you guys have a big job, when you're paying tribute to a band and you're learning all of their moves, their songs, their mannerisms, that's tough enough, but you're doing it for so many different musicians and bands,
Yeah,
and
different
it's
bands.
I don't know how you guys do it. And you, for example, play many different characters in Hairball, right?
I do. I play probably about eight characters. Yeah,
Wow. Who do you
more than
play?
that. Yeah, I do. Let's see here. I do Gene, of course. I do Dee Snider, Alice Cooper, Kevin DeBro, Tom Kiefer, Cinderella, Blackie Lawless of Wasp.
Oh,
And I'm getting ready to do Lemmy.
wow.
Yeah, it's just I'm probably missing a couple there, but yeah, I mean we can do those anytime because there's certain times that we play biker rallies where we're in a spot for 3 and 4 nights, which rarely happens, but it does happen. So you like to change up the show as much as you can. And with three singers, we can do, upwards of 25, 30 characters.
Oh, wow. And who's your favorite character to play?
Man, that's like picking your kid. I mean,
Right.
just when you think you know, it's hard, because I love Brian Johnson. You know, I love Alice Cooper. I'm one of the nicest guys in the world. And I love being mean like Alice Cooper. I mean, he's a lot of being, I love being mean. I just love being mean. You know, it's so cool to go out there and somebody waves at you and you snarl at them and you just give them this look like, don't talk to me. You know, I think Tom way better than you are. Don't talk to me. You know, that, I mean, that's Alice. You know, he's so cool. But I, you know, they all get a big pop. They all get a big noise. You know, I mean, probably the coolest visually is Gene, only because it took me so long to get everything together, from the makeup to the boots, to the costuming, to learn how to walk in the boots, to blowing fire, the whole thing. I mean, he is just amazing. Nothing but kudos to that guy for being 75 years old and walking up there in that stuff for 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours plus. Just flying through the air and floating down. Just, I mean, whatever, dude. You can't say a word about it because it's simply amazing what he did. So, yeah, I'd probably say Gene.
Okay.
If I had a gun to my head.
Hey, Dave, and which era, which specific era of Gene are you kind of reproducing or tributing?
Well, whenever they first said, you know, you're going to do Gene, I said, oh, I got to do Alive. I mean, just I have to. It's when Gene was actually Gene.
Gene, you know, that's like, right. Yeah.
It's raw, unfiltered Gene. It's just, you know, that was him to the T. You know, he was Batzilla, you know, I mean, he was awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, I did that. And then, of course, I had to get the armor. So I did Destroyer next. So I have Destroyer and I have Alive, and I'm 7'1" in the outfit.
Wow. Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm 7'1". Yeah. And I'm 6'5" naturally.
Oh my God.
And yeah, so like whenever I put on the costume, I'm maybe the tallest Gene Simmons out there, but
massive.
yeah, I am. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome, and I'm pretty thin, so they call me Lean Simmons, or Lean Slimmons, you know. So it's, but it's pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, I love all the costumes. I'm gonna get Love Gun because I've always wanted to do that one too. I mean, those are the three, right? Those are the three.
Yeah.
You know, if you're thinking about it, I mean. From a standpoint of iconic Gene costumes, those are the three.
Yeah, that's pinnacle case, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Dave, can you tell us a bit about your fellow performers? Let's start with Happy on lead guitar and vocals.
I'll get emotional if I start talking about Happy. I just love him. He's the strongest human being I've ever met in my life. He works so hard, and he cares, you know, and when you're going to do battle, you know, in front of 5,000-10,000 people on a nightly basis, that's the guy you want next to you, because you know, he's going to give you everything he's got, and you know, he's going to go up there and mean it, and he's going to go up there and deliver the goods, and he's going to believe every bit as much as you do about what you're doing. And that's pretty effing awesome. So, and not to mention, he's just incredibly talented guy and he's funny as shit. And, I just love him. He's my brother.
Beautiful. And, what about, Brian HBK on bass and vocals?
The best dude, funny. If you all only knew. Brian is super funny. He's just got such a great sense of humor, incredible bass player, incredible singer. You all have no idea how good Brian is vocally. Just like amazing. And like he's versed on several instruments. He could play just about anything. He's one of those guys, you know, that he's just an incredible and just a joy to be around, really.
Beautiful. And Billy on drums?
Oh God! See, you're just. I mean, I'm sounding like. We're all brothers. I mean, everybody brings their own sauce, right? Billy's. Okay, I'll give you an example. That guy has done everything, like everything, literally everything. He played with Johnny Lang. He toured with the Stones. He's just an incredible drummer. Like one of my buddies came and saw us play. And he said, what did he say? He goes, man, your band's great, but buy your drummer a beer after every show because he is that
Really?
good. And I are you telling? You're preaching to the choir, brother. I know. Billy is that good. And he's just, he's astounding. He really, I mean, if you sit through his solo and watch it, man, it's powerful. He's a beast.
There's something that I wanted to say that it actually transpires, you know, the distance and the camera and everything. But you know, as you talk about the band and you know, your face lights up. You know, it's like it's family, and you look
it
so
is.
Happy, man, talking about
Yeah.
You know, it's not like playing with other professional musicians just for the sake of playing. But you know, it sounds like it's family, man, and I love it. I really love it.
It really is, and more importantly, I hope you see that. I'm a fan of these guys. Like, if I wasn't in the band, I would be in the front row. I mean, people ask me all the time how far you've come. I say about 10 feet from the front row to the stage. And if I wasn't in the band, I would be out front losing my mind watching these guys play because they're that good. They're insane. They're just, it's so impressive. And and to be able to play with them and say they're my band members, like, great.
Yeah, what an honor.
You know, I'll take it. You know?
Yeah. No, Claudio's totally right. And it's interesting that, you know, you pay homage to bands who have a huge variety of interesting characters. And it sounds to me like there's a lot of interesting characters in Hairball as well. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about Chris Vaux. How about him?
Oh, that boy. That is the most talented singer I've ever played with in my life. I mean, literally in my life. The guy has versatility on top of versatility on top of versatility. He's a great drummer. He's a great guitar player. He's a great keyboard player. He's my great friend and my brother. I'm thankful for Chris, man. He's awesome. He's just an awesome, awesome guy.
And finally, Drew Hart.
He's the new guy. Well, I was the new guy. Drew came in, and what a performer he is. Incredible vocals. He comes from a vocal background. He's really, 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 really good at what he does. Just an exceptional performer. And, man, just to hear him do some of these characters, when you come see him and he jumps off the riser as David Lee Roth, or he does Axl Rose or Journey or what, his voice, he's just a bird. He can sing. It's amazing.
Mm.
Dave, so you mentioned before we could actually grasp, you know, the significance that fans have for you and for your band, and there's no secret, you know, that one of the key facts that made Kiss so big and so successful is their connection to the fans. So, but we can feel that your band also has a very strong connection with fans. So why is it that important to you guys?
Oh my God. I mean, man, I'm 52 years old. And the fact that I get to go out and people want to see a 52-year-old man in spandex blows me away, but they do. And, you know, and they come every single night and they're there and they mean it. And, you have no idea to look down and see the joy in these people's faces. And I have to tell them, you know, like, cause we'll go down front after every show and we do any pictures that they want, anything they want signed, anything that they need, we'll give it to them. We don't care. We're all about them. But I have to tell them all the time because, you know, generally when people meet somebody who was just on stage, they get a little nervous or they get a little. And I tell them all the time, I go, I'm a fan just like you are. I'm no different than you are. I am the same knucklehead that you are. I'm, you know, there's no difference. There's no rock star thing. It's not like that. We're all in this together. You show up, we show up, we rock. That's it. We're just going to have a good time. We're going to forget about our problems for a couple hours. We're going to leave them outside that door, and you have no choice but to have a good time. And that's the only demand that we have of you. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. Laugh. Laugh at my costumes. Laugh whatever you want to. Just have fun. Have fun. I just want to see you smile. You know, and if I've done that and the band's done that and you walk away and you're like, my God, that was just such a release. Thank you, God. I mean, that's just awesome. Mm.
And you guys, you have been doing this for how long now? 23 years, about that?
We're on our 24th this year. This wow. is the 24th year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing.
Wow. So, and you guys covered, you know, countless characters, as we mentioned before. But what characters haven't you guys done and you would like to perform? Which ones would you like to do?
You know, we're open to anything. I mean, you know, have stage, we'll travel. You know, we went to Mexico last year. We did all 50 states. We went to Cabo last year. The band has been to London. The band, you know, has been around. You know, we've been to Canada, of course. You know, we'll go anywhere. We don't care. I mean, this band is built for that, mm-hmm. you know, and we travel well. If we go someplace, it's going to be hard for us to get all of our stuff. I don't know the logistics of that. But that would be for people's pay grade higher than mine. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, we would love to. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Hmm. Okay.
So if you don't mind, Dave, I want to go back to talking a little bit about KISS for a moment. It's obvious you're a huge KISS fan. So I'm curious to get your point of view of their final show at Madison Square Garden. What are your thoughts about that?
I didn't see it. And my wife got the pay-per-view. We was playing. So I didn't get a chance to see it. I only got third-hand accounts, second-hand accounts, you know, that okay. kind of thing.
Right.
I really didn't. My friend Tommy Summers was there. Tommy does Three Sides of the Coin.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy, he was there and a few other of my friends were there, but I didn't get to see it. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, that night, at the end of our show, every band member came out on stage. We broke character on everything. We stopped what we were doing. And we looked at the crowd. There was probably about 3,000 or 4,000 people out there. And we looked at everybody and Happy says, listen, you know, we got to mark this moment. This is very important. So he said, all of us are going to tell a little something that KISS has been a part of our life. And all of us got on the microphone and said a story of a 2-minute, you know, thing about KISS and what they meant to us and everything. And then we busted into Deuce. We did Deuce. We did Cold Gin. We did, my goodness, Shout It Out Loud. We did, I think they did Mr. Speed.
Mm.
I mean, we just did a bunch of KISS, you know, just back to back to back. And we said, this is the only time we're going to do this for us because we have to, but it's for KISS. Because we love them so much and they've given us so much. And so for that to be their last show in Madison Square Garden, for them to go out the way they did, I think it's wonderful. I'm happy for them. They owe me nothing. They've mm-hmm. given me everything. I, you know, they could do whatever they want to do. I mean, it's like, you know, they're mm-hmm. at that point. That, I mean, it doesn't really, at that point, you got to stop thinking about yourself and think about what they gave to you and just support them in what they want to do. You know, so whatever it is that they did, that's cool. You know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine with me. It's your birthday. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So
that's
you
a
go
good
ahead
take.
And blow the candles out the way you want to, Hoss. I'm good with it. You know, so thank you for everything.
That's a good take.
That's a very good take. A very
yeah.
good take.
Yeah.
But I still have to ask. I'm sorry, Claudio. I still have to ask. Dave, have you heard about the KISS avatars?
I have.
Okay, so we
I
talked
have.
Early. So we talked earlier about, you know, our cover bands, tribute bands, the future of retired bands. Do you believe that avatars is the future of KISS?
I think what's happening, guys, is we're being phased out. Everything that we are, that we know KISS to be, is being phased out, and they're looking towards the future, which is what they've pretty much always done. If you think of KISS, we shouldn't be shocked, right?
Yeah.
I think that they're smarter than we are. I think that they're more forward thinking than we are. I think they've done their research. I don't think that they dump their money into something that doesn't have a return. And I think that they want to be remembered for years to come as the band to go see. And they're trying to get a different demographic than us because we're going to die at some point, right? You know, I mean, you know, we're, you know, not to be morbid or anything, but we're going to phase out and the new's going to come in, and the new is that. And once they announced that and they said something about the ABBA thing, I went and looked at the ABBA thing. And from a distance, that ABBA thing looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? You know, it's pretty cool. You know, but is it something that I would pay for? No, because it's not me. It's
okay.
Not, I'm a live guy. I like actual people and interaction and human connection. Moving forward, that's probably not the way AI is today, the way things
mm-hmm.
are just start like Terminator stuff here.
Yeah.
It's going in a direction that we can't fathom. So we're like 1917 and they're living in 1985. You know what I'm saying? So it's okay. It's okay. I say go for it. Let's see what happens. You know, so, would I like to see them have some young studs come up and take the spot and grab it and run with it? Sure, that would be cool too, and that might happen. But I think they're moving towards trying to get a younger generation and trying to get them indoctrinated into KISS religion, you know.
Right.
So I think that's what's happening. That's just my thought on it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, so we're fast approaching, you know, the end of the show, and you know, we're so happy, and I'm speaking on behalf of Pask and myself. So every time we have an episode, we don't go through the motions. So we take each episode as a one in a lifetime experience. And let me tell you that this one with you, it was truly amazing. And now we always approach, you know, our interviews, not only talking about the artist and the rock star and the musician, but also, you know, who is Dave Moody? And we want to know, what does the future hold for you at the personal level, at the professional level? So what does the future bring to you, Dave?
Man, I got to tell you both that I'm just a ball of positive energy. I see good things. I just want everybody to have fun and enjoy themselves. I hope that whatever I do, it makes a difference. I hope that it allows people to forget about their problems for a few minutes. I hope
mm-hmm.
that they can look at me and not worry about stuff for a few minutes. And I hope that's what I offer. As far as moving forward, I have no other, you know, I just try to kick ass. You know, I just try to
That's
get
your
up
life.
every day and love life. I mean, we're here for just such a short period of time. You know, it's like Uncle Ted said, you know, you're born at point A, you die at point Z, kick ass, you know, on the rest of the way. You know, so I just really, really try to every day maximize that, make other people's life as good as I can make it, along with making my life as good as I can, do the next right thing, and just enjoy life, man, and be a good rock soldier. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you that, you know, as of today, mission accomplished, because this has been truly an experience that I will never forget. And I'm sure that Pasca feels the same.
Yeah.
So before we let you go, so how can fans learn more about Herbal? How can they find more about the band? Where are you guys playing? So what's the social media and stuff?
Well, you can go to hairballonline.com, like kissonline.com. But it's hairballonline.com. You can find us there. Of course, we're on Facebook. Of course, we're on Instagram. Of course, we're on Twitter. All those handles are pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Hairballonline.com.
Okay.
But all of them have tour dates, pictures, videos. Anything that you could think of that you'd want to see is on there. What I want you guys to do, if you haven't seen Hairball yet, I guess what I want you to do is come out. And when you do, I want you to suspend disbelief. I want you to walk in the room and just be like, I don't know what I'm about to see, but whatever I'm about to see, I'm open to it. I just want to bring it into me. And then when we play and we do what we do, where you walked in, you'll float out. I promise you, because we are going to deliver the goods. We're going to hammer you in the head with the greatest rock and roll ever invented. And you're going to go out of there, and we're going to mean every note that we play. We're going to mean every character that we do. The costumes are going to be authentic. The makeup's going to be on point. And you're just going to be like, wow, that is, well, we hope you go, wow, that was the greatest show we ever seen. And that's what we hope. So we hope to see you guys at a show.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. Dave, I got to tell you before we close the show, like, it's been, like Claudio said, such a pleasure to have you on your show. You're the epitome of what this podcast is about. It's about promoting positivity and promoting, you know, people like you and what you do, and bringing it out there to the fans. So thank you so much for sharing all of your experiences and your positivity to the show. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. You guys have a great, great format and a great platform. Keep using it for good stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been great.
So to the Kiss Army, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Please like and subscribe and support the amazing guests we have on the show. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on Spotify, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to make yourself heard. Leave us a comment on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. See you all soon, Kiss Army.